I'm Romus.
And I'm John.
We're with Coop.
You are now listening to Truck and Hustle.
What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley, and welcome to Truck and Hustle, the podcast for trucking entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
He brought two, we got those rented out. He said, okay, I'll give you one more. He put three on now. So now he's making about $9,000 a month, passive. I won't say sitting at home because he has other work going on, but he's not actively moving loads, dealing with drivers or dealing with anything like that. And he's making, you put it, if it does well throughout the year, he could be making, you know, $90,000 a year by renting out a truck.
Turn my mic up. Take there. Yeah. On the road to the riches. Life takes a toll like bridges. Good friends become foes and snitches. Better watch who knows in your business.
All right. Hustle fam. We are back with another amazing episode. And today we're going to talk about some opportunities for passive income in trucking, right?
Yeah,
everybody wants to know how they can make some passive income, how they can leverage their equipment, leverage what they're already doing to make more money. That's what it's all about, right? So I have the gentleman here from what I thought was Co-op, but it's actually Coop. It's Coop. Yeah,
Coop by Ryder.
Coop by Ryder. And, you know, Ryder has a special place in my heart because back in the day, your boy used to work for Ryder. Ryder, R-I-L, Ryder Integrated Logistics. I was there for about 7 years, met a lot of great people over at Ryder. Definitely cut my teeth in transportation there, understanding the business. So, you know, I got some love for Ryder, yeah, man. So it's good to see some more Ryder folks in the building. First, introduce yourselves, guys. Starting with you, Romus.
Okay. My name is Romus.
Yep. Romus.
Yeah, you're good. No worries.
You can't let me sabotage your name.
Well, you got Romus, a unique name like I do, so you just get used to just accepting it.
Exactly.
People in my own office that call me, and I'm just like, all right. But yeah, I've been with Ryder / Coop going on, I guess, 5-6 years, maybe, I think, at this point, between the Ryder and Coop side. Coop, I've been going on 3 years, probably a year or so, year and a half after inception. So haven't really had the ground running.
Okay, solid. And you, sir?
I'm John, and I've been with Coop for about 7 months now.
7 months?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're new to Coop?
To Coop, yeah.
All right. Gotcha. What were you doing before Coop?
I joke that being from Texas, I've done some pretty Texas things. I worked in oil and gas.
Cool.
Then I worked with diesel engines, and then I worked with stakes. So you got oil, engines, and stakes.
Okay.
So that's pretty Texas, yeah.
All right.
So I've done a few different things. I studied supply chain, and I was involved with the diesel engine. That's where I got into trucking to an extent. And I went off and helped the family business for a bit, then got back into trucking.
The family business, what was that?
Brazilian Steakhouse. So those were the steaks.
Hold on. So Brazilian Steakhouse, that's whose family business?
My father started it.
The Brazilian Steakhouse is your father?
He started a Brazilian Steakhouse.
Okay.
In Grapevine.
It sounds like a big, like a chain or something like that. Is there a place called
Brazilian? Yeah, there's quite a bit. So there's a few chains. Okay. I don't want to give them free advertising, but he was the third one in the U.S. to open.
Okay.
That concept.
Yeah. That's pretty dope,
yeah,
man.
Like 21 years ago.
Okay, cool. Nice. Brazilian Steakhouse.
Yeah, so whenever we go to one, he knows like all the hidden tricks, like stuff that they don't let you know that they have back there.
Yeah.
He's always like, no, you make sure you get asked for this. They got
their strategy to it.
Yeah. Got it.
Just sit there green and red and wait for it. There's stuff hidden in the back you don't even know.
I believe that. That's pretty cool, man. Yeah. All right. Awesome. All right. So let's get into it. Let's talk about these opportunities with Ryder Coop. Ryder Coop. First of all, what is Ryder Coop? Let's get into that.
You were there. Start from there.
Yeah. So Coop started with the idea, you know, such as RIL, your lease customers. A lot of lease customers in a given year, they're not running 365. You take a fireworks company. Now, being from the South, obviously fireworks are used for every holiday occasion, you know, but you take 4th of July, you take Labor Day, Memorial Day, your big kind of firework holidays. Outside of that, what are those trucks doing? They're just sitting there collecting dust, you know, basically storage at best for the fireworks they're doing. Well, Ryder devised a plan. Why don't we allow those customers to put their trucks to work so to earn extra revenue, aka pay off those lease payments when they're not even using their truck? Because think about the month of August. What really in the month of August is their fireworks season? You know, not till Labor Day or whatever, Memorial Day rolls around. Do you do it after Memorial Day? I mean, people don't shoot off fireworks for Halloween, really. So after that, you're really from, let's just say Memorial Day or Labor Day, September 1st or to the 4th. After that, you're going till New Year's before a real hot, you know, firework, heavy duty nationwide holiday or firework type episode. So for 4 months, those trucks kind of just sit there.
Right.
So one of the things that Ryder devised, again, take those trucks, rent them out to an RIL customer that may need extra capacity, help pay off that lease payment when they're not being used. And now, you know, a fireworks company, let's say, technically uses their truck 90 days out of the year, can pay a full year's lease payment and really never even, you know, only actually have to use their trucks 90 days a year. Well, that developed into owner operators. You own a truck. I own a truck. You know, I own two trucks. My truck breaks down. You know how the rental game works. Sometimes it's harder to, you know, a truck's supposed to be done in a week. Well, okay, I'll sit for a week and let it get fixed. Well, then it's 2 weeks. Now we're in the world we live in with part shortages. It's almost better to go buy a truck than just sit there and wait, because you can't wait a month for that truck to come back in onto the thing. They'll buy a truck. Well, now I have two trucks. I don't want to sell that second truck in case this happens again. What can I do with this second truck? I can go find another driver to partner up with me, or I put it on Coop and I rent out that truck. So I basically have an Airbnb, what we call ourselves the Airbnb of trucking. I have an Airbnb that John's running for his trucking owner operator. And I have my truck. If my truck breaks down, hey, John, I need my truck back. And then boom, I've got my truck that's been making me money, paying itself off, making me a little extra revenue on the side while I'm continuing to be my own owner operator. And then the big evolution hit.
Okay.
Then your non-trucking guys started hearing about all this passive income. In the world we live in 2022, everybody's looking, you know, there's 8 million ways to make money in this world. So basically what you had these non-trucking companies guys started doing, you have hedge fund managers, you have house flippers saying, I can go out and buy, you know, we have a guy in Georgia right now. He started with 3 trailers. He's up to 16 trailers. And his primary focus in this world is kind of remodeling homes, doing stuff like that. Trucking is not what he does. He went out and bought 16 trailers, rents out 16 out on Coop, makes about $1,000, maybe a little more on Coop, makes $16,000 a month just renting out trailers. And he does his own normal house flipping and everything else on the side. It's just a way to make extra money. And then it just started exploding from there. You know, I say the same thing a lot, but like Uber, people forget where Uber started and where it is now. You know, Uber started me and you doing this on the weekends. Well, hey, somebody, I'll drive him to the airport, make a little extra money, and I'm done doing it. Then Uber turned into a full-time job, right. You know, right. Airbnb. It used to be just rent out my basement on the weekends to make a little extra money because I got this basement nobody uses. Now people go out and buy homes, condos, you know, townhomes, whatever they can get their hands on, and literally just rent it out 365. And Coop is basically, in this world, Coop and the trucking market came at a good time because it is not uncommon for people to share equipment or to buy equipment, right, and let other people use it, you know? So you don't have to be a rider just to rent out a truck. You can be Romus Hicks. You can be John Mathis to rent out a truck. You just own a truck, rent it out.
Got it. Okay, cool. Great, great description. So let's start with this. So I got a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah. We're ready.
Taking all of this in. I'm just kind of trying to dissect it. So you said this started originally when? When was the first inception of this whole?
I would probably say five years ago, when it was really just Ryder came with the idea, how do we get this off the ground? And don't get me wrong, 5 years ago, I mean, those are $150,000 assets that people are like, I'm not letting Roman Six drive my truck. I don't know who the heck this is. What is his trucking experience? Blah, blah, blah. So it took people a while to get on to release their babies, you know? And again, a lot of it too is like when you buy 10 trucks, you bought 10 trucks because you plan on using them, you know, like, there's that misconception of like, well, if I'm not running 10 trucks, maybe I failed in some way. So people have that hard time of saying, no, we're not saying you messed up, but if you're running it, let's just say, take an RIL, I have 1,000 trucks. I'm running at 90% utilization. Anybody would love to run at 90% utilization. That's still 100 trucks that just sitting around collecting dust that you ain't moving.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a lot of money. You're talking about $100,000 sleeper. That's $1 million just sitting there, not making money for you. So if you can even rent out half of that, which we do, we rent out to RIL Ross, RIL, you know, you name it. We've probably done with RIL, but you know, RIL comes and takes 50 of those trailers off your hands. Well, that's, you know, what did I say? $1 million, that's $500,000 worth of equipment that they just took off your hands. And now we're actually making you money off that, that equipment.
Got it. Who else is doing this in the space? Are you guys the only people doing this?
There's a few that popped up.
After you guys?
After, yeah. So Coop was the first one that created this truck sharing, peer-to-peer sharing space. It's all business to business, and some of the competitors do things just a little bit differently, but they popped up after. It seems like they came more from like that crowdfunding startup type environment, and Coop was grown within a 90-year-old infrastructure.
Right.
So there's that advantage to it, to where we still act as a startup. We're very flexible. We can adapt and make changes quickly, but our infrastructure is using that rider infrastructure that you know well. So our competitors are kind of starting from ground zero. Some of them are doing pretty well, but they're seeming to, like, one focuses on relocating equipment one ways, right? We could do that as well, but that's their focus. So it seems like they're taking pieces. Some do Ford F-150s, which we don't do necessarily, right? Okay. We do commercial equipment. So there are some out there, but they're doing it a little bit differently. And their infrastructure is different. They have, from what I heard, let's say 25 or less employees. Coop's above 90 now.
Okay.
So we're nationwide and such. And so it's just a little bit different way they're going about it.
All right. Got it. Yeah. You guys do tractors and trailers?
Yeah.
So is there anything else? Like anything
you can name.
So anything you can name on the market, any equipment type.
Gas. Right. I mean, you can talk gas haulers, flatbeds, car haulers.
Sprinter vans.
Yard dogs, or I don't know what, you know, everybody's got their own definition of what a yard dog is, but dry vans, reefers, I mean, any type of trailer you can come up with, any dump trucks. I mean, we've had people that have dump trucks, and we can do F-150s. Now, we are business to business, so everything has to be commercial equipment, DOT. So I could not have an F-150 and just throw it on Coop. You know, I'd have to have a DOT for that. Because we are strictly business to business. So Romas Hicks, the person, could not just say, I'm a trucker now. I want to go rent a truck. There's good money in this. No, you better have. We don't just allow you to be Romas Hicks LLC. You have to have driving history records. We check driving history. We check credit history, all that stuff. Can you even afford to be written? Does your driver history like show that you're not going to go do a, you know, a donut in the middle of I-75, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, you're renting other people's babies. So, I mean,
so that's the requirements that you have for the actual renter.
Renter on the renter side.
What are the equipment requirements? Are there any, it has to be a certain year, certain models? Talk about that.
There's not necessarily like Uber, for example. There are restrictions, from my understanding, on years and such. Mm-hmm. We don't have that, but obviously it needs to be road ready. And we do get all the documentation to make sure everything's up to date.
Okay.
We provide recommendations on the pricing. The owner ultimately determines his pricing, but we have the data behind to show him, hey, if you price it at this, this is what's been making money practically in the end. If they want to price it double or triple, it might sit there forever.
Okay.
But if they have like a 99 equipment and someone else has a 2020, it's a rental market, right? So the 2020, depending on the pricing, is actually going to go out always first.
Okay.
Depending on the need and such. But there's not a requirement per se. There is a lot of guidance.
Got it. So you pretty much put anything on the platform. And this is like a marketplace, right? For the most part.
Right. Yeah. It's a platform.
It's a platform marketplace that is roadworthy, right? And the person who is supplying that equipment has to supply the information to you. So are you guys doing any DOT checks for making sure it's roadworthy? Or is that something for the user to supply with you guys and then you check it out?
Right. So let's say
go through a process. Like we're going to send it to our Coop shop. Coop's going to have a guy check it out. Or
Not on the equipment piece.
Okay.
Not on the equipment piece. And that's where we use Airbnb to a large extent. Renting out someone's apartment, Airbnb doesn't go and check out the apartment and stuff, but they do make sure from documents and photos and such that it is ready to be rented out. But we don't go to the vehicles to check them out per se. Through pictures and also through the registration DOT inspection. That's what we use in order to make sure everything lines up. Make sure it lines up to the owner of the equipment, make sure it's theirs. That's pretty important
for
as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So we do all that, but we don't go out physically to check on the units.
Okay. What about liability in terms of insurance on these equipments? How does that work? If somebody, I rent somebody's equipment, I damage it, who's responsible?
Right.
Talk about that.
Yeah. On the owner's side, for trailers per se, we don't require insurance, but most owners do go with insurance, and that's on them to provide that.
Okay.
We do have requirements for power units as an owner, right? But since they're not moving cargo, they're not dealing with drivers, they're renting out equipment, usually they just go in like non-trucking liability.
Okay.
So we work with some insurance partners and we provide that information. They can connect with them and get that all resolved. On the renter side, they need to either come with their own insurance.
All right, guys, Truck and Hustle has now partnered with Transpo CFO, powered by Venning. Transpo CFO offers a streamlined monthly subscription for businesses to consolidate their accounting, payroll, and tax needs into one flat monthly rate, saving businesses a tremendous amount of time and money while making their financial operations much smoother for the long road ahead. Check out Transpo CFO in the description below and tell them Truck and Hustle sent you. Now let's get back to the show.
$1 million minimum liability, 100,000 physical damage, or they have to buy rider's insurance.
Okay.
So the rental is covered regardless. That's why the owner needs the minimum, right? Because on that rental, it's going to be covered either by the renter's insurance or through rider's insurance. And within Coop, we have the claims department. We have roadside assistance, 24/7 roadside assistance, which goes back to that rider infrastructure I was telling you about. Nationwide, we have 24/7 roadside assistance
for sure
via Ryder, but it's given to Coop's renters and owners. So that's the team that we have internally in order to make sure everything runs smoothly.
Okay, what are your strongest markets? Where are people? Where do you see the most equipment being kind of placed? From what areas of the
so region? So I'm not just saying this because I'm from there, but Texas is the number one market.
Okay.
Then I would say Georgia and California are 2 and 3. But Coop started off in Romas. I mean, he was here for it. Coop started off with the proof of concept here in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's still one of the top two, I would say number two, number three market.
What is the most popular piece of equipment that's being put up for rent?
Right now, probably trailers would be. Yeah. I mean, at this market in 2022, trailers they're impossible to come by. So many manufacturers are just pushed out to 2023, 2024 before they're even rolling trailers off the line. That's probably, I would say, bang for your buck. That's the highest volume rental. I mean,
what type of trailer?
Just a 53-foot drive-in.
Just a drive-in?
Yep, just your average drive-in. I mean, you know, 53-foot swing drive-in, you know, and go back to age, for example. Like, we have a lot of owners with 2008 trailers, you know. Now we see the pictures. If John goes to pick up that trailer and he's like, man, this thing's a dog. Yeah. Like, tires are run off the, you know, rims, whatever, blah, blah. I call up the owner and say, hey, I don't know what picture you sent me, but this ain't matching up. Right. And like, you know, and then it's just like Uber. The worse your rating goes down, ain't nobody picking Airbnb. If you're renting out a dog, you know, and nope, the ratings just stink over and over. You know, that lets us know immediately something's not adding up, you know. And so if you put on a 2012 sleeper, we try to steer our owners like, hey, 2016 and above, once you get past there, you're getting into a different world. I can't put a 2012 and compete with a 2019. But if you are, because people do have 2012s that are in good shape, they redid the engine on there. And so as long as there's no Romas Hicks picks it up and breaks down 5 hours down the road, caught over and over, we keep running them. But yeah, I'd say trailers are number one and tractors probably. I mean, tractors are probably number two at this point right now, just because.
Any particular type of tractor?
Day cabs, probably. I would say day cabs. Everything's automatic. I will say that for people that are thinking lacking Coop, like, nobody drives manuals in this world. I mean, I can tell you, you know, I remember when I actually worked at a Ryder, like, moving manuals around the yard was like, you only had like 10 people that could actually do it. So like, when it was my turn, I'd be there like, Romas, can you go move that? Like I could drive a manual. And like, it was just lucky that I knew how to do it. But I mean, there was so many people that just don't know how to drive manuals. And now, I mean, here we are 5-6 years later, and I don't even know if you could find a manual on a Ryder yard anymore in these days.
Yeah, world. It's probably pretty tough. How many pieces of equipment do you have within the system? Do you know the actual number?
Yeah, so in the system, it's about 10,000.
Okay.
And of course, with some owners, some are doing it full time, and then some are putting it on during non-peak seasons and such. So all the 10,000 isn't active. It fluctuates. But you could put it about 15 to 20% of that are active listings, either rented out or available to be rented out. So 1,500, 2,000.
Got it. Why would a person work with Coop as opposed to renting themselves independently?
As their other options, like why don't they go to Ryder or Penske?
Yeah, why would they just do it themselves? Like just rent it to
on the owner's side.
Yeah, on the owner's side. Yeah. Why would they just? Because I'm sure that there's a portion of the proceeds that you guys take, right?
Sure.
Which we'll get into.
Sure.
But why would it just go direct and say, hey, let me find some people out there on the road. They need trailers. Let me go directly to you and cut you out.
So some do. Some do. And some are able to deal with that aspect of the business. I mean, not everything runs smooth, of course. So there's people who don't pay. So now you got to go after payments. Let's say they roof your trailer. Now you got to deal with that as well. Let's say they steal your trailer. So you got to deal with that. So it's not that they can't, but is do you want to deal with those headaches? Mm-hmm. I think the best example is dealing with leasing companies. We have leasing companies that are owners on our platform, right? Why do they use us? For what? Extra reach? I mean, we're giving you access to Ryder's customers, just to be blunt. I mean, that's a pretty simple equation there. Yeah. So they get an extra reach and demand, 24/7 visibility on the platform. So if you're renting it out yourself, the only time that they're going to know if you have something available is if they call you, unless you have a platform. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the platform, someone can log in at midnight and book a reservation with your unit and pick it up in the morning. Mm-hmm. So it's available and or visible 24/7. And then the other piece of it, of course, is the claims, roadside, that whole aspect of it. So the leasing companies we work with, they're doing fine. They've been doing it maybe for 20, 30 years, for example. But why not put a portion of it, make extra money, and not have to deal with payments, not have to deal with any claims, not having to deal. They don't call the owner directly. I mean, they go through Coop. So it's the headaches aspect of it that's an advantage as well. But I mean, I got some people that tell me, I'm just going to do it myself. And right. I mean, I applaud them. Yeah, do it. That's great. If you need anything, let me know. But that's great. And then other ones who want to try it out and other ones that do half themselves and half with Coop.
Okay.
So it's flexible in that aspect. But those are the reasons we hear why people want to utilize Coop. Because leasing companies can do it themselves as well, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. How does the process work? I'm a owner operator. I have, a couple trucks, a couple trailers. I want to work with you guys. How do I get into leasing or renting with you with Coop?
Yeah, so it's super simple. Actually, the app is available on via the cell phone, of course, or online on the website. And there's a tab that says list the vehicle. And that's what initiates the whole process. So internally, someone within our team receives the ticket, gives you a call, and then goes through the list of equipment you have available. What market are you in? Then obviously has to go through expectations in terms of how much can it potentially make. So all the right questions are actually in the website, but it's the same questions that you're asking as well about insurance, right? About claims, about roadside, about how am I going to be paid? How do I know the renters are vetted out? So that conversation is had, of course, but to list the equipment is actually very quick. But that's how someone can get started. I mean, at any point in time is just by submitting a form online and going that route. Now, if someone wants to buy equipment, then there's more conversations, obviously, because they're probably going to ask, what should I buy? What's the number one equipment rented out? What market should I put it in? So those are more conversations, obviously. So there's the conversations for people who want to start off or buy more equipment and the people who have equipment.
Yeah.
But we can get someone set up and going if they have all the documents and such within
A couple hours. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. And then if the demand's hot, I mean, it could be rented out the next day.
Got it.
So,
yeah, okay. You wanted to add
to that? I was just saying, like, to that point, I had a guy that with a 2017 automatic day cab that he called me up. He'd been running his tractor for a while. And so, same scenario I told you about, he had two trucks that he ended up purchasing, or second one. And, finally just his driver went on and did another thing. So he had said, and I said, well, is this ready to go? Because chances are, the minute I load this, it's going to be rented.
Yeah.
We loaded it about 3 p.m. He had a reservation by the next morning. And he was like, well, we're going to have to wait a couple of days. And I was like, man, I told you, like, those things, like, an automatic day cab is going to fly off the shelf. Like, and so that was, not even a 12-hour time frame before. I mean, it was a conversation. Let's get my account. Because he was a renter. He had never done the ownership side. Okay. And by the time he decided to add his tractor, I tried to tell him, I was like, but they're going to come, like, you build and they're going to come. And that thing was already rented, had a reservation on within 12 hours. And he had to, he was like, I didn't expect it to happen that fast. I was like, all right, that's fine. But what day is it ready? You know, because people are going to do it. And then I call the renter back and say, hey, you know, this is what happened. It's going to be ready at 5 p.m. You cool with that? Most renters are. They'll be like, all right, that's fine. As long as I got it that day. And so everything worked out fine. But it's fast. It's very quickly how from you can go from a renter to an owner real easy.
On the owner side, the renter side takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a way to stand out on the platform above others? So we're in this big marketplace with all these trailers, all these pieces of equipment. If I wanted to be a power user, I wanted people to see my equipment before anybody else because I want to get it out, you know, faster. Is there any way to do that?
Yeah. So logging in on the app or on the website, you'll see a star by the name of the company. And that shows as a preferred account.
Okay.
And so that's usually based off of ratings, just like anything else, Uber, Airbnb, Uber Eats and all. And then those listings will show above other listings. So it's performance driven for sure in that aspect on the search results, because we do get asked that question. How does mine show up first?
Yeah,
it's going to be based off performance. And then dedicated units. We have units that are 100% dedicated to Coop. So they're not coming off. And so with those units, they usually show up ahead of the other ones because the availability is more. Okay. And the other thing, aside from search result, are pictures. I mean, people want to see what they're going to get.
Got it.
So if they don't have pictures, it's a stock image. But when you have pictures, it increases the chance that you get written down.
Got it. So performance. So is that? So what are the KPIs? All the that you're rated on, just so we can be clear about it. So it's obviously pictures is one thing, but in terms of performance, what are people rating you on?
Availability is key. You know, if John tells me, for example, the guy we just talked about, if you tell me I'm going to upload a truck on Tuesday, a request comes in on Wednesday, but you have to decline it because it wasn't as ready. You know, I was planning on putting another tire on it, but I hadn't got around. Well, that goes against a declined reservation. Okay. So if your decline percentage starts getting down there or up there, I should say, and your approval percentage starts dropping, you know, is your truck truly available? No, it's not available full time. So, you know, the more responsive you are on the app, you know, the more times your truck is actually being rented. And when it, you know, Roma 6 puts in a request, it gets rented. That helps things. Volume, you know, volume is king. I mean, if you have 10 trucks on there and you're sitting there just rapid firing them, you know, that's going to obviously put you as a premium or a preferred or a power user, just like, you know, Turo is. I mean, if you have 500 cars, they obviously don't want the guy with 500 cars going anywhere. So, you know, and that guy's going to do a lot of volume and stuff like that. But, and then honestly, it just goes to simple, just as basic as it sounds, is Uber. You know, if your truck runs for a week and I turn it back in and it was clean, it did its job, there was no breakdowns, 5 stars, bingo, bingo, you know, and so.
Peer-to-peer rating.
Yeah. Peer-to-peer so, rating. I mean, it's, there's a lot of it's as simple as you think it could be. Yeah. And then a lot of it is kind of behind the scenes too, like, you know, don't tell Coop you have a truck that's available 24/7 and then you've turned down 5 reservations because it was only really available Thursday through Monday. You know, 24/7 means 24/7, 365. So just, you know, and that where the expectation, that's where the conversations we have with our owners. What do you mean by when you say you're dedicating to Coop? You're only dedicating on the weekends? That's fine. We just know we need to set some parameters around that. We need to shop this out because we do our shopping too. Like, you're entrusting us with your equipment to get off the platform. Like, you're putting it on. My job is to get it off, you know? So I go to my users or my renters and say, all right, who's my weekend runners? Where do I have guys that are, you know, short term? May I only run Monday through Friday, turn it in, you know? So there's a lot of things that we, you know, it's not just set it and forget it and hope that it gets rented. Coop's actually pushing your product out. Like, we're mixing and matching. You know, we talk to our owners. Do you want to be transactional or do you want to be long-term? You know, you may say, listen, man, I don't care how this thing gets out. I don't care if I have 20 rentals and for 20 days, you know, or if I have one renter for 20 days, which one do you fall on? You know, some guys are like, just keep it moving. I don't care how many times this thing comes back, as long as it keeps going back and forth. And other guys want to be like, listen, just get it out. One guy for the next 6 months, I don't want to deal with it again, but I don't want to be getting into the whole, he's bringing it back on Monday, but I got to pick up on Tuesday, but then I got to drop off on Thursday. But they got, you know, so it's all really how you want to play the game. I mean, again, it's a marketplace. So you can be as hands-on as you can be, or you can be literally hands-off as you want to be.
Got it. Are there any like rider-owned assets on there? Or are they all like people in the marketplace that, that you
there's
had?
There's a few, but the percentage came down tremendously. Obviously, in the beginning,
you had to start.
You need supply, right? Yeah, you can't rent out what you don't have. But now the percentage is really not that much at all. But there are some units on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? Who has the appetite for this app the most? You see, is it larger carriers? Is it like the small guy with a couple trucks? Like, who do you see?
It ranges. Yeah, it ranges. And that's the fun part, because we're talking a lot about the owner side. But I mean, obviously, the platform is there for the owners to make revenue.
Yeah.
But we're serving the trucking industry, right? And so the beauty of it is, if the renter gets approved, it goes through a vetting process, of course, because it's very strict. It's other people's equipment. So we got to make sure we know who's on the platform. Once they go through that, it could be a small owner operator, or it could be a national account, like you mentioned, CVS, Amazon, UPS, USPS. So there's a wide range of renters on the platform, which is pretty cool. It's not just the large accounts. It's some owner operators that maybe their truck's in the shop. The other even rider maybe doesn't have an option for him. Well, guess what? He didn't know, but John's Logistics down the street has that truck that he's needing in order to run his business, even if it's temporary for a week, a month, 6 months. So there's a wide range of renters that we serve, which is cool.
Okay. Let's talk about revenue, right? Yeah. That's what everybody's probably like waiting to get to.
Yeah.
How much
get
money
to the
can
point,
I make
guys.
On this
get
platform?
To the point.
Well, this really sounds great, but how much money can I really make? So I guess let's start with your typical person renting out a truck. I don't know, mid-range, not too old, used, but not too old, maybe 3-4 years old, something like that.
Right.
What do they stand to kind of make for a rental, and then kind of get into what does Coop take out of that?
Sure.
Talk about the economics of how everything works.
Sure. Yeah. On, I guess we could talk about trailers first.
Yeah, so about trailers.
Yeah. So once an owner is about to list his equipment in the platform, the team actually just launched something called the Coop Smart Rate, which is based off of the model, the year, and the type of equipment, like you just said. But let's say the baseline is $40 a day, right? $40 a day is the baseline. Then there's mileage as well. The mileage is 4 cents a mile, that's standard. What can change is that daily rate. So someone can put 41, 42, 39, 38, or they can get aggressive with it. But 40 as a baseline, from there, Coop only makes money when the owner's making money.
Okay.
So there's no listing fee, there's no subscription or anything like that. But Coop only takes a 20% cut off of the daily rate.
Okay.
So from that $40, Coop would take $8.
Okay.
The owner pockets $32 a day plus the mileage on that. So like Romas was saying, on any given month, with all the Coop cut and everything already taken out, it could be about, let's say, $900 to $1,000 a month of passive income if it's rented out for the whole month for a dry van trailer.
Okay. How do you guys determine that $40 a day number? Where does that come from?
So that's all data analytics and what we see that's going on in the market.
In your individual market, or is this nationally, like with just rentals period? Like, where is this data aggregated from?
Aggregated mainly from, I mean, Ryder's the key source.
One of the biggest, yep.
Yeah. And now Coop has 5 years of data. But for example, a year was only Atlanta data. So we're using all the data we can. Usually 2 years to 3 years of data is where it becomes extremely valuable. But we're having to do, since we're nationwide, some markets are newer than others. So the 40 is just an average based off of across all markets and what rentals are able to get out. So we're basing it off of what's being able to be rented out that benefits the owner and the renter at the same time.
Okay. So. Got it. What have been some of the challenges in growing this marketplace, and I guess how you guys address those challenges as they've arisen?
If we start on the owner side, I mean,
yeah, let's talk both sides.
Yeah, on the owner side, the challenge, and Romas was talking about it earlier. I remember I lived in Houston when Uber came out, Uber and Lyft, and it was weird. I mean, it's a strange concept, right? You're getting in some stranger's car. And that's the ride sharing aspect. And then Airbnb came around. So from the owner side is getting them comfortable with the fact, if it's a sleeper unit, say it's a $150,000 piece of equipment, getting them comfortable with the fact of it being rented out to other companies. That's the thing. It's all business to business.
Right.
So you can't show up with an ID, credit card, and rent off a coupe. But getting the owner comfortable with the fact of truck sharing, peer-to-peer sharing, that piece is a challenge because they've never heard about it before. I mean, they may already be doing it by renting it out to their buddies and stuff, so it's not that much different, but it's just the marketplace. So have been familiar with the concept. I say that's one of the biggest challenges. Mm-hmm. And to be straight up honest with you, it doesn't fit everybody.
Okay.
It doesn't fit every company. Some companies can't take that chance of renting out the equipment if they have three pieces of equipment. They know they're going to need it 2 weeks from now. Do they want to rent it out for a week? Does it make sense for them? Maybe, maybe not. But getting them used to the concept of truck sharing, I would say that's one of the largest challenges.
Okay, got you. Is this any type of conflict of interest with rider rental?
No.
Not at all?
No, not necessarily.
So are there like rider rental vehicles on Coop as well? Because I mean,
people
rent out vehicles from rider, right?
Right.
So could they save money by just going through Coop? Like, there's nothing that's...
I see what you're saying, but I think, I mean, since it's Coop by Ryder, there's not that conflict of interest.
Right.
And the great part is, I mean, we have a huge sales team. And so we collaborate a lot with Ryder still.
Okay.
So we work with the different Ryder branches and we're very open about what's going on. And actually, Ryder also calls us to help satisfy their customers through Coop's, it could be your vehicle on Coop. So Ryder sees this as a huge advantage as well because they have that account, but maybe it's a 2 week rental that they need. They don't want to lose that customer out of the Ryder family, obviously.
Right.
So it's more of a collaboration between Coop and Ryder than any sort of conflict of interest.
Okay. Has there been any challenges on the owner side, but on the user side? Where maybe there were some issues with the app or, you know, drop off locations or anything like that. Like what has gone wrong? I'm sure it hasn't been perfect.
No, it's not.
Tell me about some of that stuff that you guys had to fix to
go for
improve
it.
Upon.
Yeah. I mean, in anything is obviously going to be, you know, for example, a rental, you know, I go to pick up your truck. You tell me that thing's ready to roll. You know, I go in there, everything looks good. I don't know, 2 hours down the road, AC stops low. All right. Act of God, it wasn't your fault. The AC was working when you turned it in, so you had no reason to suspect it was going to stop working 2 hours later. So me as a renter, if I'm a first-time renter, it's like, damn it, I knew I should have gone to Ryder. You know, like this, you know, that's your immediate thought was like, why am I renting his truck? I should have gone to Ryder. Well, Ryder didn't have a truck for one. Penske didn't have a truck for one. Togan didn't have a truck for one.
Are you allowed to say Penske as a rider?
I mean, I make sure, you know.
I think he'll edit that out, right? Just put a bleep.
So in that of itself, you know, and trucking is, you know, it's, you're on the move. Once you get in a truck, you got loads to do, you got a job to do. So sure, you know, a rental breaks down, stuff like that. You know, drop off to pick up location. Now I will tell you on that for, you know, our owners, if you tell me that this thing is going to be picked up in a McDonald's parking lot, then it's expected to be returned into a McDonald's parking lot. So like, you know, wherever we tell our owners, listen, make sure that where you know, if you, this is the spot they pick it up, that's where they're required to drop it off. So if you start deviating pickup and drop off locations outside of Coop, we talked about renting outside of Coop. If you try to do it on your own, if you put your location at 123 Atlanta Boulevard, and then you call the renter personally and say, hey, I want to pick it up over here. You can drop it off over here when you get back. But then they pick it up. Your specified location on the Coop website is 123 Atlanta Boulevard. Listen, you deviated something on your own, like, the renter did what, you know, and then it becomes a he said, she said. So we encourage our owners, what that location you list for the pickup, that's where they're returning. You don't deviate from that, you know. And so, because then you just get into he said, she said, well, his last truck, I was able to drop it off here, but this truck, he's telling me I can't. It's like, and then I have to tell the renter, sir, I'm sorry, like, this is where it was supposed to be dropped off. So, you know, stuff like that, it's pickup and drop off is not only too bad. I mean, really, from a renter standpoint, it's no different than the owner concept. It's getting the renters the idea of, just like Uber did back in the day. It's one, we hopped into yellow, you know, Crown Victorias and didn't think anything of it because they had the word taxi written on the side. But next thing you know, John drives up in his Tesla and I'm supposed to hop in the back and him take me home from the airport. It was like, who the hell is this guy? Yeah. Why am I riding a Tesla? But now you don't even think twice about it. You get on your phone, like, all right, if I time this out, baggage claim, boom, I can be there. And you don't even think twice about it, hopping into some stranger's car. But, you know, think how long, it's not that long ago that if it didn't have the word taxi on it, you weren't, that would be considered weird, me hopping in the back of your car.
That's very true.
You know, so it's like, I mean, that's just the world we live in. Some owners, you know, trucking is an old school game, you know, so some, you know, drivers, their idea of renting a truck comes from, I go into Ryder, they tell me they have X amount of trucks, I rent one of those. Where this getting on a phone and picking out a truck that's over in Fulton Industrial Boulevard right down the street and John LLC Transport's on there, like, you know, so it's a different thing. And, you know, obviously that's where our owners come in. We want to make sure to understand what they're getting into. You're providing a rental business. This is not just throw some hunk of junk on there that you're trying to scam the system and make a little extra money. Like, you're trying to create a rental business and put your truck to work. Yeah. So, but from a renter standpoint, sure. You know, there's always things that go wrong. I mean, you can pick up a truck at Ryder and the windows stop rolling down 10 miles down the road, you know, so it just depends. But, you know, that's where, and this goes back to earlier about competitors. I think that's where Coop has the biggest advantage over the competitive market, because, you know, with Ryder, I mean, right now, if us three decided, you know what, screw Coop, we're going to go start this ourselves. Well, if a truck breaks down in Kentucky, they're calling us, right, and we have to find, you know, Jim and John's truck and trailer repair at 2 a.m. and figure out who's going to be open, who's going to facilitate this. You can just call Ryder. So that's one of the biggest advantages that we have over a competitor that's starting from the ground up is, you know, there's more than just having a truck and renting it out. What are you going to do when something goes wrong with a breakdown? A general breakdown, you know, with our customers, they don't call John up and say, hey, the truck you rented me broke down. No, they're calling Ryder. They're calling Coop, and we're handling and all that. And so there's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, I mean, with renting, it's what you think can go wrong will go wrong. It's just a matter of, you know, if you're open to understanding, like, listen, bud, this could happen in a Ryder truck. You know, it just happened in the truck you're not used to. But most of our renters understand it's trucking, and that's the name of the game. Blowers go out, windows stop rolling down, tires get bald, you know, stuff like that.
Got it. So when that does happen, who's responsible? And how does that, like, so for example, I pick up a truck, blower goes out, whatever happens.
Yeah.
Right? Am I calling back the renter and I'm saying, hey, you got to fix this. I'm on the road. I'm delivering a load. I'm in West Bubble, wherever, yeah, somewhere. I rented this truck from you. You got to take care of this for me. Who's the liability?
Same thing with like a Ryder truck. If you rented a pure Ryder truck, John's truck, I'm the renter. Driving down the road, boom, tire blows out. That is on me, the renter. Unfortunate act of God, but that particular case, any tire blowouts fall on the renter. I reach out to Ryder Roadside Service or Coop Roadside Service, whichever, however you want to say it. They send out a Ryder certified technician, changing the tire on the spot, bingo, bango, you're on the way. And then Coop will handle the, you know, hey, John, just to let you know, the renter, a tire blew out, we replaced it, no harm, no foul. Now, I may be going down the road, hey, Ryder, air conditioner not working. You know, it's hot, I'm in Texas, it's 107 degrees, I can't be driving this truck. Send out a technician or take it to the nearest Ryder facility, wherever we can find the nearest vendor, whatever, and have that looked at. If it's a $2,000 repair and this thing ain't gonna get fixed for 2 weeks, John Transport, your sleeper has gone down with air conditioning issues. It's going to cost $2,000 to fix. We can have it done. Let's say it's Monday or Monday now. We can have this fixed by Wednesday. You good with that? John calls back Coop. Yeah, go ahead and have it fixed. You know, and then we talk to the renter. Do you want to wait till Wednesday to have this thing fixed? Or do you want us to try to find you another truck in the meantime? You know, and then it goes back into the sub worlds of Ryder when you break down, you know, stuff like that. We try to encourage our renters to stay in that and do that for the ownership side. Because, for example, if the truck breaks down and a renter hops into a new truck, well, then it's on the owner, like, to get that truck back home. Let's say I'm in Georgia and that truck's in Texas. I mean, unfortunately, it is an act of God, but that truck was going to break down whether John was driving it or whether a new renter was driving it. Yeah. So we reach out to John. This is what we're going to do, John. We're going to try to rent your truck in Texas, and which happens a lot, believe it or not. We're going to try to put a new renter in it, and we're going to tell the renter, this truck's got to come back to Atlanta. So, for example, this happened last week. We had a trailer that was down that needed tires or what. I can't remember the exact reason why it was down in Florida, but it was in Florida. It belonged back up in Atlanta. So we told the renter, hey, when you get done using this trailer, it's got to come back to Atlanta, or otherwise you can't rent the trailer because that's what we're looking for. And we're like, all right, that's fine. He was like, all right, that's fine. I need a trailer for a week anyway. I've got to work up back to Georgia anyway. boom, and the trailer got dropped back to its original location, Georgia. So there's ways to get it back home, not at the owner's expense. Now, if it's in North Dakota, you know, now we're in trouble. But like, you know, stuff like that. If it's in Texas, I mean, honestly, it's one renter goes into another truck. Let's say you got a hot load and you just cannot wait till Wednesday. Our job is to find you another truck from another owner in Texas, keep you on your way. And then I reach out to John. Hey, don't worry. We're going to put another renter in there. It's Texas. It's a hot market. And then we let that renter know. And basically, we just piece by piece it all the way back to Georgia.
Wow.
And believe it or not, I mean, it's really not that hard. I know it sounds hard and crazy, and your listeners are probably like, absolutely not. You know, like.
Well, you know, the thing is when you have thousands and thousands of pieces of equipment out there on the platform, it is probably not as hard as it does sound. But it does sound crazy.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not, I want to stress that it's not just set it and forget it. Like, not going, John, put your truck on there, man. We got you. And then go, all right, he's good. Romans, put your truck, you know, we're not just like dumping you to the side. Like, we're shopping you. Our job, Coop doesn't exist if your truck sits on our platform. The whole reason you're on Coop is because your truck was not being utilized. So it's got to be utilized on our platform. So we are not just sitting there hoping, going, please somebody rent this, please somebody rent this. We're actually actively shopping it to RILs. RIL needs 30 trailers. All right, I've got 5 in Atlanta. I've got 4 in Tennessee. I've got 2 in Duncan, South Carolina. I got 3 over in Alabama. And we're piecing them all together and getting them to an RIL Ross down in Florida and just basically taking every little piece that we can get and piecing them together, because our job is to get your equipment off the platform. Like, it, Coop doesn't exist if an owner gives me a sleeper and it just sits there. Sitting for you, it's sitting for me. What, then why am I on Coop to begin with? Like, I, you know, nobody, my truck's still not moving. So that's the biggest thing that, like, our, I try to stress to our owners, like, listen, we're shopping your units out. It's not just hope that somebody comes along and takes it.
Got it. And my unit could pretty much end up anywhere, right?
Yes and no. I mean, you can
It depends.
We, what do you call it? GPS, I'm going, bubbles on them, your nets, you know, where like, I've got some owners that only deal in the Southeast. You know, they have like their GPS netting. If that truck exits that certain area of 500 miles outside of Atlanta, they're loaded on their GPS, you know, whatever their tracking system is. Hey, this truck has left the nest, you know, and basically I reach out to the renter. Hey, you knew the rules. You cannot go past Louisiana.
So you're allowed to set parameters.
Correct. And then I have some that they don't care. They, the, cause the mileage costs, you make money on the mileage. So I have some, you know, on power equipment, tractors, box trucks, 26 foot box trucks. That's 12 cents per mile that goes 100% to the owner. So some owners I have, I don't care if they run the brakes off these things. Like every mile is a 12 cents to me. So, I mean, if you got a guy in a sleeper that runs 10,000 miles in a month, I mean, that's a decent chunk of miles, but that's, you know, that's $1,200 you just made off that mileage, not even counting your daily rate, you know? So it's all pick and choose how you want to play it. I mean, again, that goes back to the owner about the the challenges of owners is, what is your ultimate goal? Are you a guy that says, I don't want to deal with anything. I just don't want this thing running, and I don't care how long it runs or how far it runs. And then you have others that are almost too hands-on at times. They're like, they almost have like too tight up. Well, I don't use it on Sunday. I mean, I just have to understand the Coop's probably not for you, man. I don't know that I'll ever have a renter that needs a truck from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. on a Sunday, you know, and people call, believe it or not, that's a hot, you know, they have it for one day or maybe two at the most. And I just tell them straight up. I said, listen, the worst thing you can do, or the best thing you do, is throw it on Coop. And if it hits, it hits. If it doesn't, no offense, but it's sitting for you already. So what's no harm, no foul. If we can't move it on those two random days you give us, we're really not missing out much. But I do tell them up front, like, listen, but I can't promise you I'm going to find a renter that only wants it Monday and Tuesday, and that's it. You know, so, but it's just.
Yeah, the owner has control still. So in terms of the price, in terms of its, if it can go out of state or not, and the owner can deny any reservation. So once a reservation comes through, it's a reservation request. The owner is going to review it. How many days is it out? Who's renting it? What's their rating? How much am I going to make? Where is it going? They can approve or deny that reservation.
Got you.
And so they still have complete control.
On your equipment that you want to, right? You
can, on the pricing?
Yeah, pricing.
Yeah, you can.
But there's a
that's a struggle. That, like you talk about struggles, owner. That's we run into that sometimes. Like, I mean, you have some guys that don't understand the value of movement, and it's like
$100,000.
Right. Exactly. I mean, trust me, we get some crazy numbers. I mean, you'll have a guy that'll list a 2015 sleeper or 2015 sleeper for $250 a day, and I have to tell him, like, John, like, nobody's going to rent this at that price. Like, you're in trucking, you know that that's unimaginable to rent it. You can't sustain your current, you can't rent it that price. If somebody rent it, And it just sits there. It sits there, and then they're like,
that happened here in Atlanta.
Yeah, like you'll just get these insane numbers, but you just and you have to remind the owner, like, or the owner, like, listen, at that rate, you're not solving your issue. You came to us because your truck wasn't moving. Now you're trying to make $5,000 in 1 week. You know, so it's like, you know, trucking, you know, that $250 a day is not sustainable with the cost of fuel the way it is and everything like that. So we give the suggested price. We give you the data that shows, hey, at these rates, this is what moves. When you start getting above that, you know, you're allowed to. It's a free market. Yeah. You know, I can sell a pair of Jordans for $1,000, but doesn't mean anybody's going to buy them. You know, like same thing. You can put a truck at some crazy rate. Doesn't mean anybody's going to rent it. And that's where we step in at times and say, listen, you put it on here for a reason. All I'm doing is giving you my advice. These are the rates. Here's the data that supports it. I'm not just trying to make a buck and move your truck. Here's the data that supports it. And then from there, it's on you to make that decision. You know, and some guys stick to their guns, you know, but to me, those guys are the ones that are almost like, all right, something's going to go wrong with this. So if I'm going to do this, I better hit the payload. And I tell, you know, and they're like, I'll make $500 in 2 days. And that's like, I mean, you know, stuff like that. So the rates are probably a big, you know, and especially in this current market that we're in where everything's inflated, you know, right now trailers, it wasn't long ago that trailers were renting $20 a day. And that was considered like, that's up there. Now $40 is like 2008, 2012, it's a box on wheels. Give it to me. I'll take it. You know, so there's an ebbs and flows, you know, the closer we get to holiday season, you'll see the rates of trailers start climbing again, $50, $55, just crazy numbers. But that's where we have to remind those owners, hey, it's not November 12th, right before Christmas. It's, you know, March 13th with no holiday in sight. Like we got to come back down to reality a little bit. Like, and so that's where we have to explain to our owners the ebbs and flows of seasonal trucking. Yeah. Like you're not going to be able to charge the same thing you would on holiday season as you would in March, because it just, that's not how it works, you know? Yeah. And a lot of, most people in the trucking and get it, but the other side of Coop, the non-truckers that are buying assets just to make rental income, they're not familiar with any seasons of trucking. They don't know that during Christmas time, trucking ramps up. June 4th, June 3rd, June 2nd. Like, I mean, that's a slow time. That school is just getting out. Trucking slows down a little bit, you know? So that same rate you were getting in November is not the same rate you're going to get in June. And we have to explain to that, like, hey, it's not just us. Riders and moving rates and adjusting rates. All trucking companies do that. So
where are these guys getting trailers from to buy to just invest and throw them in typically?
That's another free marketing that we do. That Coop, we have trailer sales and all over the country that send us batches of units. Hey, I just got a shipment of 2018 Wabashes. You know, I got 10 of them. You know, we don't charge them anything for them. We tell our owners, hey, I've got this list. You buy, you don't buy. We don't get into that world of buying. We never tell an owner, like, buy this or whatever.
Yeah,
we basically say, here's a list of stuff we've received. It's on you to pick and choose. We are not responsible because, you know, if I tell you to go buy a trailer and it turns out to be a dog and you're like, you're pissed at me now, not the guy that sold it to you. And it's like, no, this is just a list that we got. It's on you to go look at it, find it, do your due diligence. And then, but yeah, I mean, we offer these sales companies free marketing. It's free reach to our customer base and just say, hey, we've got investors, people that are looking to buy equipment, shoot us a list. And I tell my owner, hey, there's 10 out in Indiana and they're going to be gone within 48 hours. You got to make a decision, you know, because that's how fast these things go. When there's 10 on, there's 10 off within 72 hours.
How do I become one of those guys that gets those lists?
You just reach out to Coop. We just have like a, I mean, we create like a, almost like a spreadsheet that auto emails and we just send it out to all our customer base.
Okay. And any prerequisites? Or just, if I want the list, now you shoot it to me.
Yeah. The main question is, do you own equipment or do you have to purchase equipment? So when someone fills out a form online, that's one of the main questions. Depending on that answer, it goes to a different team within Coop. And so usually the need to purchase goes to Romus, myself, and some others, because that's considered more of an investment type situation. Obviously, you're investing in equipment other than if you already have equipment. So once we get that notification, we have the conversation, try to see what the strategy is, let you know what's going on in the market, how it all works. And then we can add you to those lists of equipment that's available. I'm trying to help a guy out, entrepreneur, straight up entrepreneur, found out about Coop, I think, on YouTube.
Okay.
And he's in Indianapolis. He wants to start off with one. He can ramp up to maybe five. He wants to start with one. 2 months ago, we found 300 trailers for a guy out of Texas. And recently I found 25 trailers in Florida for a guy in Texas. So we just have that network. We know what your strategy is, And that's where we reach out to all the vendors that keep sending us lists so that you don't really have to call 20 of them. You tell me what your strategy is. I'll define the list and give it to you. So it makes it a lot easier as we just help to search for the equipment. But like Romas was saying, I mean, once I found those 25 in Florida, asked if they were still available. They said yes. I called the investor and I said, hey, here's who you can call. Negotiate if you want. I don't know. Here's the contact.
Right.
And he did, and he bought them. Okay. So we just put them in contact.
Right.
Based off of the strategy, based off the numbers that they're looking at, based off the years that we recommend. But that's how someone who wants to get involved, that's how easy it is going online, saying you're interested. And then the question again is, have equipment, need to buy equipment.
Has that portion of the business exploded, like with the investors? Is that a big part of your business?
It's increased quite a bit.
What percentage would you say of the marketplace would that be?
Can we say the percentage maybe?
No.
No?
You can say what you
mean. No, just kidding. So I would say it's above 20%.
Okay.
Above 20%. Yeah, to have an idea, the management at Coop is close to Turo. If you're familiar with Turo, where you can rent out your own car and such.
Yep.
Turo's supply base, 80% is passive investor assets. 80% of Turo.
Yeah.
And they have 200 and something thousand cars on there.
For sure.
So we know that there's a market for like this whole passive aspect of things. Coop being 5 years old, 1 year being proof of concept, 1 to 2 years being proof of concept, it's still a very new concept, like the Northeast is new for us as well.
Yeah.
There's other markets that are more developed. And so with that, depending on how they want to get started, we look to ramp that up quite a bit on the investor side. We call it investors because you're buying equipment for a specific reason.
Yeah. What's your current across the platform? What's your current utilization rate for all the equipment?
It's about 85%.
85%?
Yeah, 80 to 85% on average across all markets, all types of equipment.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. So the guys who are that 15%, why are they typically not getting utilized?
Yeah, we did this analysis recently, actually, as the market was.
That's a perfect question.
Yeah, man. Hey, you want to buy some trucks? What's going on? You got all the questions. We really did do that analysis recently because of the shift that's going on in the market and seeing what hasn't been moving on Coop. And honestly, a lot of it has to do with price. It does have to do with price. But then we deep dive to see, okay, it has a 15% utilization, but how many reservations have you declined? Mm. Why did you decline it? Was it not available? Were you on vacation? You didn't like the price? What was it? So there's on the surface, we could say price, but how many reservations have they denied? You know what I mean? So there's that aspect of deep diving and having that open conversation, direct conversation, in order to get business going, obviously, because like Romas was saying, it's on, you listed it for a reason, right? And we're trying to help you make that revenue. But there's some parameters, some guidance that we want to provide. And so some of them say, okay, thanks for the call. I'll put whatever price I want still. That's fine. But we'll still monitor it. But if someone comes in and prices it better, has photos uploaded, the description's great, because again, it's a marketplace. Just like if you sell something on Facebook Marketplace, the title makes a difference. The pictures make a difference. What you write makes a difference. So we try to make the listing as great as possible. But again, it's the rental market. So price is a big factor.
Got it. Is there any guidance around that when somebody's listing their equipment, like kind of tells them what to do? So like step by step, so you'll know how you should present your equipment? Or is it kind of like just if you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't?
No. So we do demos, and so we're still involved, and that's probably why I was telling you with our competitors how many people they have in their company, how much we have.
Yeah.
We've invested a lot in our staff, and so with that, we do demos and conduct demos, and we can help even list the first equipments. But we'll send out a template as to how to list your equipment. We do send that out, but we like to be involved in case there's any questions, right? But I have a guy at the Texas-Oklahoma border that he was ready to go. He had some reefer trailers that were sitting. He went in on Coop. I found him through a referral, actually. But he went in on Coop, figured it out, And I was like, hey, you want to schedule that demo? He goes, actually, I just listed it like 5 minutes ago. I'm ready to go. I'm like, well, I didn't even get the ticket because I get a ticket to review the listing, right?
Right.
And but he was ready to go. Then we have other ones that want to have that demo, how to list. We give the pointers, but the demo takes like no longer than 10 minutes.
Okay.
So some grasp the concept super quick. And then some need just a little bit more guidance, and either way is fine. But we want to be as involved as possible. That's why we have a huge sales team, customer support team that makes sure that that listing is where it needs to be for sure.
Got it. Give me a success story. Somebody who started using Coop and has been able to generate, you know, a certain, you know, number or income. Give me something that you put on a YouTube channel to kind of, hey, this is our star Coop user. Who would that be? You don't got to say a name, but
yeah, we have a guy in Atlanta, at Alpharetta, Georgia, that I think, I don't know if we were on camera or off camera when we were talking about it, but I mean, he saw the Coop ad come on. He's kind of one of those guys in the new world. He's investing in things, whatever. And he was in brokerage back in the day for a very short time. So he knew about trucking, but he's never dealt in the trucking world. But he started with two 2012, 2013 dry vans that he had purchased out of Pennsylvania. We found two guys to rent them out of Pennsylvania, return them to Georgia. He's now built his fleet up to about, I think he's at 14 right now, and he rents them on average for about $40 a day at 4 cents a mile. So he's making $960 per trailer times 14. So let's just say that's $14K right there. Each trailer's running 8,000 miles a month at 4 cents. So that's $320. So do the math. That's almost $1,200 a month off 14 trailers. And the guy flips houses on the side. You know, like, I mean, he's based out of Alpharetta, Georgia, and he's been running, and he's looking to purchase more. Right now, the market's a little inflated, but he's got more trailers waiting to be delivered. So he's continually, his goal is to get to 25. That's his number. And then we're up front with our owners too. Like, I've told him straight to his, you know, straight on the phone up to him, like, hey, bud, like, once you get above 25, like, this starts getting above just passive income. Like, you really are starting to run a rental fleet. So, you know, like, and then one day I'll never forget, he called me up, and, you know, cause we've gotten close, and he called me up and he's like, hey, I found this 2016 Peterbilt sleeper. And I was like, Mike, what are you doing? Like, we got a good thing going here with trailers. You're not a trucker. Like, that's a totally different animal. Like, you know, that is not what we want to get into. Like, because I'm not going to, again, to our owners, I'm not going to put him in a position where that's not what you started out on. This is not the process. Personally, would I love it? Yeah, it helps me. It helps my renter base. But for him, that's a whole nother ball game. And the type of investor he is, he is not wanting to get into the tractor world. Trailers, let's face it, they're a box on wheels. You know, outside of changing tires, keeping the brake lines for everything like that, there's really not much maintenance that goes into a trailer unless a corner cap gets clipped or something like that. And again, that could be on the renter, you know. So when you start getting into power, unless you really know the game of trucking, you know the parts and part shortage, all that. So, I mean, I was straight up, I was like, listen, that's just not for you right now. Let's just stick to the trailers. You're making sweet money on that. I would love to be making the money you're making on that, but we're barred from doing that kind of business. You know, we have a non-compete.
Can't compete.
Yeah, we can't even get in our own program. But, I mean, he's a big success story. And then, like I said, we've got others. I've got a leasing company out of, you know, South Carolina that strictly did reefer trailers. That's all they do, and they're real business. You know, they're a leasing company of reefer trailers. I knew one of the guys that I was working with. He was helping me find trailers he was using Coop to rent out reefer trailers in this market. And then we just started talking about, have you ever decided to explore other aspects of the trucking world besides just reefer trailers? And then next thing you know, now he's buying 26-foot box trucks to list on Coop that is almost separate. Like, they do their own rental and leasing reefer company. That's their $1 million company that they do, but now he runs a whole nother division of just straight box trucks that are only on Coop. You can't even go to their actual business and rent the box trucks. If you want to rent a box truck to them, you have to go through Coop, and they keep that whole entity separate. So now they've got a whole rental division of 26. I think he's up to probably 35, 26-foot box trucks that he's running just strictly on Coop, and he's making hand over fist too. I mean, those are running at $130 a day. 80% of that is, what is that, 105, 104-ish, put a 105, 12 cents a mile on that. So now you're doing one box trucks, you know, 30 days, that's $3,000 plus another 1,000 miles, $4,000 of box truck, you know, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say one out of Dallas, he's through another referral. He was a moving company, but he had 5 box trucks, and someone put him in contact with us. We had the conversation, like I was saying, about how does it work? Why should I do this and such? And I found out he was and I like to find out why are you interested as well, right? He was wanting to get out of the moving business. He was just done with it. He was looking at other stuff. He said, okay, I'll give you two. Start off. He brought two. We got those rented out. He said, okay, I'll give you one more. He put three on now. So now he's making about $9,000 a month, passive. I won't say sitting at home because he has other work going on, but he's not actively moving loads, dealing with drivers or dealing with anything like that. And he's making, you put it, if it does well throughout the year, he could be making, you know, $90,000 a year by renting out a truck via Coop. And so there's examples of one truck, there's example of three trucks, and there's examples of 50 tractors that they made $500,000 in 9 months. So it could be small and it could be large at the same time.
Man, I think that's all the audience needs to know, man. Yeah. I think that sounds great. It sounds like a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Being able to leverage Riders Network, being able to leverage your unutilized assets to make some additional income. Yeah. Pretty much a no-brainer. You sign up for free. No costs.
No commitment.
No
either.
Crazy commitments.
No commitment at all.
Yeah. I mean, if you decide to put a truck on and 2 weeks later you say, hey, man, I love the program. It's just not for me. Hey, I wish you all the best. Give me any feedback you got before you go. And then, you know, good luck with your trucking career, you know, so there's no commitment to it, you know, anything like that.
Got it, man. Sounds like a great opportunity. So I think you guys got to check out Coop. Is there anything that I didn't ask about the platform, about the marketplace that you want to share that maybe I didn't grab that?
He mentioned it a little bit, but I always love clarifying because we use the Airbnb analogy quite a bit, but that's just to keep it simple. But the difference with ours in terms of any passive income type of opportunities is that we generate demand two ways. The platform does what it does. Coop's marketing invests a lot in Google, billboards, radio, Facebook, YouTube, everything. So the platform does what it does. But at the same time, we have a complete sales team that brings you deals as well. So Roman's touched on that a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not a matter of, hey, list your equipment. Best of luck to you. Let me know if you have any questions. We have local sales reps across nationwide that are also trying to get your units out.
Yeah.
And so that's another advantage that we've been seeing because the platform is going to do well.
Right.
But you as an owner have an entire sales force working for you.
That's huge.
So that's a piece that I like people to understand because, yeah, we're a platform that connects fleet owners with renters. Sure, the platform. But there's a sales team behind it as well.
Right. Which you don't find with the Airbnb.
Now, they're not going to call you and say, hey, I got you a year deal this much. Right. And it's UPS.
Yeah.
Are you interested? They need corporate housing.
Right.
Airbnb doesn't do that. Or I don't know if I'm saying all these other. There's Outdoorsy as well.
Yeah.
But from my understanding, Outdoorsy, you rent your RV equipment.
Right.
But they encourage you to do your own marketing.
Gotcha.
So we're literally letting the owner set up a rental business, but we're doing all the marketing. We're doing the demand generation. You literally set up your bank account and it gets deposited. So we're running that whole aspect for you while you make decisions. But I always like letting people know, I think it's helpful of how the demand is generated. I think it's very important as well.
Got it. And one more thing that you just now I thought about when you said that payments.
Yeah.
How are payments taken care of? How do you set up on a platform? Talk about payments.
Yeah. So that's quick as well. You literally set up your bank account. All the payments are processed through Stripe. And if it's a reservation under 30 days, you get paid once the vehicle's returned and you approve of the return. Everything looks good. Hey, Coop, it's good. I'm going to close this reservation now. You get paid. Over 30 days, longer term rentals, you get paid every 30 days until the equipment's returned.
Okay, got you.
So either monthly on longer term or when it's returned under 30 days.
Okay, got it. And then that the 20% fee is taken out of that payment?
Everything's calculated.
It's all calculated in there?
Yeah, it's all calculated ahead of time as well. So you know exactly how much you expect to make, except for the mileage. The mileage, of course, if it's GPS or hubs, we got to calculate that for you. But other than that, you have an idea on how much you're going to be making even before it even goes out.
Okay.
All right. And it's literally deposited in your bank account. So
yeah, awesome, man. Sounds like a great, like I said, great opportunity. I love it. You got Ryder behind it. You know, the biggest, one of the biggest out there. You can't go wrong with that. I definitely implore you guys to check out Coop, check out this opportunity. As we customarily close out, we always want to let everybody know where they connect with you guys,
learn more
about Coop, and learn more about you guys individually. And also, we want to close out with a final thought. So that's something that's entrepreneurial, spiritual. If you want to say something to motivate our owner operators out there to get them to use Coop, whatever that may be, and then we'll close out the show. So let's start with where they can connect with Coop and learn more about the platform. Start with that.
Yeah. So coop.com, COOP.com.
Okay.
That's where you can base off of. And then there's the app in the app store as well.
Got it. And that's a mobile app.
Yeah, mobile app.
And Android.
Yep.
All right, perfect. And then some final thoughts. Leave us with some parting words.
So it's Truck and Hustle. So obviously you got hustlers listening here.
Yes. Right?
So even though there's all these fluctuations in the market, there's always creative ways to make revenue. And so on the hustle piece, this is a platform to where literally it gives you that side hustle or a full hustle to take advantage of the rental market space. Mm-hmm. So we're here.
I love that. That's powerful. Hustle fam, if you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Right? You know what we do around this town? If you smell something burn, it's only your desire. Myself, the guys from Coop, we are out.
If you twisted, confused, or stuck about trucks, don't be dumb. This is the place to come. Truck and Hustle. Let's go.